The list of social media platforms banned for kids under 16 could grow ahead of next week's lockout. The eSafety Commissioner has written to two platforms, one called Lemon 8 and the other called Yope, recommending that they self-assess to determine if they fall under new laws, which will start next Wednesday. The High Court is also considering a last-minute challenge to the laws as bureaucrats dismiss concerns that the ban will further isolate vulnerable young Australians. Lizzie O'Shea is a lawyer and chairs the group known as Digital Rights Watch. Now, I'm not young enough or cool enough to know much about these platforms, Lemonade and Yope. Tell me about how they work.
I have to tell you, I'm not young enough to know organically, so I've had to learn myself. But so the issue is that there's a list of social media apps that the government has indicated come within the scope of the ban. But there is, you know, a definition that is designed to be flexible. There's exclusions for messaging and gaming, but otherwise some of the criteria was covered in your news story earlier. It includes things as to whether you share content with friends and whether you can be contacted by people. And so there's a question about whether some of these other apps that do similar things that might look a bit more like, say, a messaging app in the case of Yope, come within scope. And these apps have become extremely popular in recent times, moving up the ranks of Australia's most popular apps very quickly in the last week or so, with the suspicion being that it's because young people are seeing this as an alternative when they get booted off some of these platforms as a result of the social media ban. So what the government's done is said, you know, these apps need to self-assess. They're expecting companies to assess whether they come within scope, which does highlight, I think, some of the operational challenges with this kind of policy, where what constitutes an app within scope remains unclear and is going to be a matter of adding to that list over time, I expect, as this situation changes with the implementation of the policy.
So we're likely to see this again and again as kids are migrating from one platform to another. I'm imagining slightly ahead of the politicians.
Yeah, well, you know, at one point, I think it was Annika Wells talked about if LinkedIn became a place where young people congregated, she might have to consider putting it in the list, which I think is a slightly implausible outcome, but may occur, of course. But there is this idea that I think different kinds of applications might be brought within scope because they meet the criteria. There is also a number of apps that were considered early on as being potentially in scope. Something like Wikipedia couldn't get clarity early on in this phase of the policy to work out whether they were in scope. And I think that's an interesting suggestion. Maybe there will be other applications that people think should be within scope and the government comes under political pressure to include them, even if that wasn't the original intention. So I think there is going to be a lot of movement with this policy because it's so public, it's so contentious, it's been debated and discussed for such a long time that people's expectations may also mean that it shifts.
The ABC's TV program Behind the News for Young People asked more than 17,000 of its young viewers about the social media ban. 75% said they won't stop using social media next week. Does that illustrate the difficulties that the government faces here, Lizzie?
I think so. And a lot of them talked about how they thought it was going to be ineffective, which I think is interesting. Young people, anyone who's got young people living with them knows that they're very good at getting around certain kinds of rules that you might put in place. So this is an example of young people talking about the fact that they intend to continue using social media, but also that they're not convinced it's going to be effective. I think what has been missing in this conversation, unfortunately, is the voice of young people. A lot of young people actually, I think, support and understand the mission behind this policy. They don't all love social media. And if you look at other polling, they do have concerns about it. They want it to be better and safer. But I think it's also really important to talk to them about where they're at. And a lot of them intend to continue using the social media services, looking at workarounds. And there's a real question there around how the government can make these services safer, not just prohibit access, which can create other problems in terms of, how young people then experience apps that aren't designed for them at all.
Mm. Lizzie, tell me about this High Court case. So Libertarian New South Wales Upper House member John Ruddick has taken his fight against these laws to the High Court with two 15-year-olds named as plaintiffs. Mm. Is that likely to go anywhere?
Well, this is a difficult question, right? Australia has very few rights in its legal system. We don't have an enforceable human rights regime. We have some rights contained in the Constitution, as many people know. So an implied right of freedom of political communication. So it's implied into the Constitution. And it's really been interpreted as being about access to politicians, representatives, so facilitating social democracy rather than a more independent right that you might see in other parts of the world, like in the United States or in Europe. So I think there's a bit of a question here around whether this ban falls within the scope of that implied right of freedom of political communication in circumstances where young people don't have the right to vote or formally participate in social democracy. But there is a question here, right? A lot of young people use these platforms for working out what they think about political issues, for seeing how politicians communicate. You know, one of the rumours flying around is that there's a plan to unfollow Anthony Albanese from social media on the day this ban comes into place because of concerns around this policy. So a lot of young people track our democracy and work out what they think about politics through social media, and I think that should be acknowledged, which I think is a potential positive contribution or way in which people use it. And so there is a question as to whether then this is brought within the scope of that implied right of freedom of political communication. Look, let's see. I'm not convinced it's going to work, but I'm not the High Court and I don't have to be convinced of it.
Yeah, there will be many eyes from around the world on Australia next week when this comes into force. Lizzie, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Sally.